Out again this morning to the book of James. Now we're going a little later today, I see by the clock. And you'll have to explain to your friends or family when you leave today that, well, church just took a little while today. Doggone it, we had baptisms and professions of faith. Man, I mean, this is just so long, you know. Then we had to, you wouldn't say it this way, would you? And we heard the word preached. These things take time. And it's a wonderful time, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to linger here. It's a wonderful thing to give attention to the Word of God, to know the Spirit of God, His readiness, His zeal to work in us, His zeal for our holiness, His zeal for our sanctification. So we come to the Word, and we'll try not to rush, but to think carefully through it. I know the elders would say to me just now, don't rush. All right, James chapter 5, and we'll read here, verses 13 to 15, just a short section. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. God's holy word, let's pray again. Father, help us now in these minutes to receive this word. Speak to us, be gracious to us, cause your face to shine upon us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Active faith. Active faith is always seen in my coming to Christ in prayer. It's one of the characteristics of true faith, coming to Christ in prayer. Now it's striking as we come to this last portion of the book of James that every verse that I just read, and actually beyond too, I didn't read the whole section, but every verse of this paragraph actually contains explicit reference to prayer. So, James is closing his letter in a very pastoral, in a very practical way. He's urging prayer. Prayer in all things. Prayer at all times. It's been well said that prayer is the breath of the soul. That's how I breathe spiritually. My prayer. So we say again, true faith finds its center and power in a vital relationship with God through prayer in all of the experiences of life. That's the Christian life, isn't it? Fellowship with God through prayer in all of the experiences of life. How is it with you, brothers and sisters? Is your life marked by prayer? I can tell you, if you're a true believer, your life is marked by prayer. You might say, it's not, Pastor, it's not marked as much as it ought to be. But helpful to put the question, helpful to examine ourselves, isn't it? Helpful to think in terms of growing in these things. Is your life punctuated by prayer? Prayer through the whole day. Prayer as you begin another duty. Prayer when you're confronted with need. Prayer when you're cheerful. Prayer when you think about others, their lives, their needs. As the Apostle Paul put it, and Pastor Strange has made reference to this of late, particularly, pray without ceasing. That captures it. Pray without ceasing. So James finishes here with an exhortation to a life of fellowship with God through prayer. A life of dependence upon God through prayer. That's the measure of my dependence. Prayer. A life of dependence upon God through prayer in all the experiences of life. And here he touches on three different experiences of life, urging prayer in each of them. In times of suffering, in times of blessing, and in times of sickness. We'll think on those briefly this morning. First, in time of great need or suffering in particular, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. As we've seen this word previously, the particular meaning here is any of you suffering evil? It would be the idea of persecution. Is any of you suffering evil? James says, very literally, let him keep on praying. Keep on praying. Now, sometimes because of our dullness, that can sound like a platitude to us sometimes. Because of our dullness, brother or sister in Christ says that to us, keep praying. Keep praying. Ah, but it's no mere platitude. James exhorts it here. It's always proper. It's always proper to bring this exhortation to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep on praying. Keep on looking to Christ. Keep on trusting in Christ. In terms of suffering here, suffering evil, persecution, live in fellowship with God amidst this need. That's the exhortation. You keep living in fellowship with God, depending upon Him, looking to Him, even when you're pressed about by evil, persecution. Think of, in particular, of brothers and sisters in Christ who face persecution. They would appreciate this exhortation. And we need to appreciate it better. We're a little spoiled, aren't we? We don't face much persecution. So maybe, for various reasons, we can sometimes be dismissive of this kind of thing. And not our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted. They say, bring it on. Yes, I need to keep looking to Christ in this great difficulty. I need to live in fellowship with God amidst this need. I need to continue to depend upon Him, understanding that He purposes to bring blessing amidst this time of great need and great pressure. Yes, fellowship with God is at the heart of the whole thing. I want fellowship with Christ. I want to continue to look to Christ amidst my needs. Now, we can say, that's not very complex, is it? Aren't you thankful that the Christian life, in a certain respect, the Christian life really isn't that complex? Aren't you glad? I mean, I'd be eliminated if it were complex, you know. Walking in fellowship with Christ is really, it's actually a rather simple thing. We're just so easily taken aside from the basics, aren't we? And we understand part of the reason for that is, we're always opposed in the most basic and most important things. The enemy opposes us every day, brothers and sisters, every day with respect to prayer. Every day he opposes us with respect to coming to the Word or having any meaningful meditation in the Word. Every day we're opposed in this. That's called constant total warfare. Oh yeah, which is one of the definitions of the Christian life. Apostle Paul and others. This is a vital part of living out my fellowship with God. When I'm pressed with difficulty, what am I to do? We know the answer, don't we? We just don't always do it as we ought to do it. We know the answer. Pray. Sometimes that urging comes to our hearts. And to our shame, we would confess we didn't pray. I'm to pray. I'm to seek Christ. I'm to seek His strength. I'm to seek His grace. I'm to seek His wisdom. Yes, in difficulty, as we saw in chapter 1. I'm to seek His wisdom, trusting His sovereign hand in my circumstances, that this is really from Him. Yes, it is. It's from Him. And He would bless me in it. And He would sanctify me through it. Again, let me put the question very practically, because we haven't thought on that perhaps in a while, but is that where you are with respect to your two present difficulties? Are you looking to God? Are you saying to Him, Lord, after all, You are very wise in what You've ordained for me. I trust, I recognize Your hand in my life. I know Your purpose is to give me real wisdom in this difficulty. That is Your purpose. That is what I come to You for. So James exhorts us. Time of great need. Time of suffering. Keep on praying. But what else? He exhorts us that we should pray in time of blessing. Second part of verse 13 there. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Could be rendered, let him sing praise. Anybody cheerful? Let him sing praise. Let him keep on making melody. It's a continuous idea again. Let him keep on making melody. Because, of course, such singing is a form of prayer. It's a prayer of praise or thanks to God. Now, we might be too quick to think or say, oh, Pastor, that part's easy. You know, I can give praise to God for His blessing. That part's easy. It's harder to trust Him in difficulty. Not so fast. I don't know. If we reflect on that just for a minute, we see how oftentimes it's not the case. How easy it is for us to quickly forget God when everything's going well. Right? That tends to be the time we get into trouble. Things become smooth. We're not so pressed by difficulty. Things are going great. Perhaps initially we turn our eyes to the Lord and we give thanks, we rejoice. But how quickly in a time of blessing, that's the very time in which we take our eyes off of Him. Isn't it? That's the way it is. Because that's the way we are. James says, is anyone cheerful? It's a very practical exhortation, isn't it? Anyone here seen the blessings of Christ of late? Now, again, we don't see those uninterruptedly, necessarily. Well, there's a sense in which we do, actually. Anybody particularly aware of the blessings of Christ in these days? What's the exhortation of the Spirit of God here? You keep singing. Sing praise to God. You know, singing has a wonderful effect. It's therapeutic, and spiritually therapeutic in the very best sort of way. But one thing is a check on where my heart is, if I'm not able to sing. But I ought to sing. I ought to sing praise to Christ. I ought to lift praises to Him. I'm to live in fellowship with God in good times, in difficult times, in times of great difficulty, in times when I am uniquely tasting of God's blessings. That's what we're called to. That's just a part of our fellowship with Christ, and it's very practical, isn't it? So look back on your week, so do a little self-examination here. How was your week? Think back on some blessings, you know, you experienced. Was that an occasion for you? Was it an occasion to lift praise to God? Thanks to God. Wonderful. James says, keep singing. Keep singing. But then he turns to an experience which was much more common and much more threatening in his day than in ours. And yet we need to learn the same lessons that our brothers and sisters in Christ learned so very long ago. He urges us to pray in times of sickness. Is anyone among you sick? Writes James. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. First, we need to think about here the seriousness of sickness, particularly in that day. In that day, sickness was much more prevalent and much more commonly life-threatening. Hey, you got sick. It was a serious thing. Uniquely serious. Mortality rate was much higher, wasn't it? Many, if not most, sicknesses were life-threatening. Now, even as I say that, think about the blessings of God's common grace upon us. Wonderful advances in medicine. That's God's common grace. Again, by which we mean, it's the testimony that indeed God is made, or man is made in the image of God. And he has wisdom, and he's creative, and he's investigative, and he puts things together, and lo and behold, the common grace of God, all kinds of medical advances. So, you know, again, in a certain respect, sometimes this puts us at a little bit of a disadvantage, or it tends to make us not so much depend on Christ, perhaps, if we don't look at it properly. You know, we get some, you know, significant sickness, we go to the doctor. We get an antibiotic. It's a wonderful thing. We get an antibiotic. It knocks it down. Whereas in times past, it might have killed us. Wow. You think about it. I mean, if we, this, you know, the selection of people here, if we lived in the first century, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, most of us wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. Many are the blessings of God's common grace in medical advancement. Now, it's sad. Again, that, think of praising God for His blessings. That should be an occasion. We above all people, should be praising Him every day for such things, right? Not to say that we don't, but every day we ought to be. But yet, we tend to be less dependent upon God for the healing of our sicknesses. That's not right. We tend to be less dependent upon God. And one thing we tend to lose sight of is how very frail our lives actually are. Well, in a time of serious sickness, James here, he encourages one to call for the elders of the church. He says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So a brother or sister is on a bed of sickness, unable to come to the assembly. And really, this call is a call for the whole church to pray. The elders indeed are specifically called, and they offer prayer as the spiritual shepherds. But really, it's a prayer for the whole church to pray. So-and-so is on a bed of sickness. Serious thing. What to do? Well, do we turn to the Lord first and to His church in such cases? Pray! Pray! We ought to. Somebody becomes seriously ill. What to do? Call the doctor! Get to the hospital! And we're not saying one shouldn't do that. Again, these are the gifts, these are the blessings of common grace. One should do that. There's no antagonism in the Scripture between those means that God has provided medically. There's no antagonism between that and trusting Christ. It's all just a matter of perspective, really. Proper spiritual perspective. But we're focused just now on our primary response. Do I look to Christ? That's what James is emphasizing. In all the experiences of life, pray. In all the experiences of life. So yeah, we say we seek out that proper care which God in His common grace has provided. But in it all, what are we to do? We're to look to God as the great healer. That's what we're to do. The one who alone can bless those skills and advances that He's granted in His common grace. We're to trust Him. Ah, but here's the prayer. Prayer of the elders. The Scripture says here, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. You see this dependence upon the power of the Spirit of Christ to heal is certainly pictured here. The elders are directed to pray over the sick one, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, oil, we understand from the Scriptures, is symbolic of the Spirit of God. It is, in fact, that recognition that God alone can heal. That's the significance of the symbolism. But there's clear recognition here that we are indeed physical, spiritual beings. Anoint this one with oil. So recognition, yes, that here, we are physical, spiritual beings in one person. It's really amazing when you think about it. Physical, spiritual beings. And of course, oil was commonly used medicinally in that day. So you anoint him with oil, anoint this one with oil, which was used for medicinal purposes, praying over this one. Again, by which we bring this lesson. Let everything that's done in terms of medical treatment be done in the name of the Lord. Go to the doctor in the name of the Lord. get an antibiotic in the name of the Lord. You're going to have a medical procedure done. Get it done in the name of the Lord. Do it in the name of the Lord. Do it, in other words, with eyes upon Christ through it all. Again, what's our point just now? Well, there's no antagonism biblically between physical remedies and dependence upon the Lord. James says this: the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Now, I think a common mistake here is to get all caught up with questions as to whether this is the gift of healing or not. And what's this prayer of faith, you know? Ah, the prayer of faith. People can turn that into a very mysterious sort of thing. The prayer of faith. And so, do I have enough faith? Because if I really had enough faith, I'd be healed I'd be healed by this means. I think it's wrong-headed. James is calling us all to simple dependence upon God. That's what he's doing. He's not providing some formula or secret whereby we might always claim a healing. He's not doing that. So we don't want to get all caught up in the wrong things or twisted about in the wrong things here. James is calling us to fellowship with God, simple trust in him, simple dependence upon him. He says the prayer of faith will save the sick, very literally, or rendered a particular way in terms. It's the prayer of the faith, very literally. The prayer of the faith. And you could think of that a couple of ways. It's the prayer marked by faith, or in particular, you could put it this way, it's simply the prayer of God's believing people. That's what it is, like the other prayers here. The prayer of God's believing people. It's effectual, James says. The Lord will raise him up. But what's James' point? Well, God delights that we should bring such need to him, and God delights to answer such prayer. But we hasten to say, it is not the will of God to heal every sickness of his people. Again, we don't have time to go on and on about this today. We could. It's not the will of God to heal every sickness of his people. Now, to be sure, the ultimate removal of sickness and death itself was secured by our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that in Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our griefs or our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that's quoted, by the way, in Matthew chapter 8, on the occasion of the Lord's healing one. Here's a fulfillment. So what are we to make of those sign miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what they were, sign miracles? They, yes, gave testimony to the fact that Christ, here's the one who alone could conquer death and disease and sin, or put another way, sin and all of its consequences. So you had that testimony in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ again and again and again. Here's the one who in his work ultimately conquers death and sin, and all of its effects, and disease and sickness is just the effects of sin. So you have that proper testimony in the sign miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we say again, it is not God's will to heal every sickness with which his people may be afflicted. Now again, we back up, we say a few things here. We confess, any and all healing comes only by his hand. Think of that from Psalm 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. By which is not meant that he heals every disease that the people of God ever have. No. But every occasion of healing is by his hand. He's the great healer. So any and all healing comes by his hand. Secondly, we need to say often his greater purpose is advanced actually amidst sickness. What's his greater purpose? His greater purpose is sanctification. That's his greater purpose. You mean sometimes God permits sickness in his people and difficulty and things like that? Yes, he permits sickness and difficulty in his people that they might be sanctified. So sometimes it's not his will to heal them? Yes. Yes. He always keeps us focused on the greater priorities. Think of Job. Think of Job. It is not God's will to heal every sickness with which his people may be afflicted. Just one observation here. Most deaths are ultimately the result of sickness. So again, what's our Lord saying to us? Yes, Jesus Christ is the one who conquers death and sin and all of its effects. And we look forward to that day, yes, when death is abolished and sickness is forever put away. And we have bodies that never get sick at that point and never die. We're always looking forward, aren't we? All sickness will not be removed until death itself is abolished. What then is James' point? Now, we say he's not giving us a formula whereby all of our, anytime we get sick, seriously sick, we have a guaranteed healing. That's not what he's saying. He's calling us to a life of fellowship with him, and he delights, we say, when we bring to him all of the parts of our lives and all of the needs of our lives. And it's entirely proper when we are seriously sick, if one is seriously bedridden now, I mean, we should pray in every case, call for the elders of the church, that they might pray over this one. God is pleased if it be his will. I mean, we always have to qualify it with that. That is not a, some people think that's a compound. That's not a compound. We're recognizing the sovereignty of God. We're recognizing the higher purposes of God in many respects when we say that. It is not always the will of God to heal. But you know what? Sometimes it is. And sometimes if we would pray, he would heal. But we neglect to pray. He calls the body of Christ to pray here, in the person of its elders, to pray for such a one who's on a bed of sickness, that one might be healed. And yes, he delights to receive that prayer, and in many cases, delights to answer it. And finally this. This word concerning assurance of forgiveness. This is interesting. The scripture says if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now sickness is, by which we take it to mean, sickness is sometimes a consequence of sin. But not always. Consider Job again. Job's friends said, what did they say to him? You're afflicted because apparently you've sinned a very great sin. That's why you're being afflicted. Wasn't so. Now, Job was a sinner, but it wasn't for some particular great sin that he was afflicted. He was a sinner. Sickness is sometimes a consequence of sin, but not always. But maybe more to the point here, we need to say this, or related. Forgiveness is frequently a concern of one who is seriously sick. You notice this. If we haven't noticed it, James is helping us understand something here. Forgiveness is frequently a concern of one who is seriously sick. Why? I think all of us have experienced something of this, actually. Because when one is seriously sick, it causes me to reflect upon my life, doesn't it? Have I been living for Christ as I ought? Answer, no. Have I been doing the things he calls me to do? Well, maybe not all of them, right? Have I been neglecting to do things which I know I'm supposed to be doing? So James is saying a word of assurance should be brought to a brother or sister in such times, particularly a word to the elders, I think. a word of assurance should be brought to a brother or sister at such a time. That person can be thinking, oh, I failed so miserably in my walk with Christ. People commonly think that way when they're very sick. Anyway, why does one who's sick frequently utter such things? Because they're really thinking about it. Oh, I failed so miserably in my walk with Christ. Now, sometimes a brother or sister doesn't specifically say anything about it. But they are thinking about it. And to minister them properly, I should address it. Yes, we have much sin to reflect on. Our gracious Lord forgives it all. Bring your sins, bring your needs, bring your burdens to Christ. He will forgive. That word of assurance needs to be brought. But here James' exhortation. What is it really at its heart? This is it again. Christ calls us all, brothers and sisters, to a life of fellowship with Him. And that fellowship with Him is experienced through prayer. And I'm to cultivate that relationship with Him in all the experiences of the life. So I ask again, how is it with you? How is it with me? Is my life punctuated by prayer? Prayer through the whole day? Prayer as you begin another duty? Sometimes we don't pray because we're very familiar at something we're doing. That's a great mistake. Oh, I can do this. I do it every day. I know how to do this. And, of course, there's a sense in which we know how to do it. But it's that recognition of dependence upon God in all things. I've done this. I do this maybe every day of my life. But I need Christ in it today. I need His help in these things today. Prayer as I begin another duty. Prayer when you're confronted with your need. Prayer when you're confronted with the needs of others. Yes, prayer when you're cheerful. Praying without ceasing. This is the life that Christ calls us to. Maybe there's somebody here today and saying, I don't know anything about this. I hardly ever pray. I prayed on it last Easter or something, you know. Well, Christ calls such a one into fellowship with Himself. You need to come to Christ, find life in Him, find true fellowship in Him, turn away from sin, turn to Him, trust in Him alone, and come into true fellowship with Him. And in the enjoyment of that fellowship, we pray at all times, in every experience. Sometimes husbands, our wives, nudge us to pray, don't they? You've noticed this? It's a wonderful thing to have a wife who nudges you to pray, actually. This is just a side application, just for a moment. Sometimes we men, we sort of react to that, you know? And the reason we react to it is we know we really should have been the one who initiated it. Don't refuse such nudgings. And let's all say to each other, you nudge me all you want, okay? Please, please, nudge me all you want. I need many nudges all through the day. Let's pray. Father, help us then, we pray, to walk in fellowship with You through all the experiences of life, to depend upon You, to look to You, to bring every part to You. So give us that grace that Christ might be seen in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.